The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
And we are now live. Thank you for taking some time out of your evening to be here with us for a session of the Preterist Power Hour. Tonight's exciting as we have Brother Rick Welch from the Burrows of Berea going to be joining us. And Rick just, you know, is a blessing to the body of Christ, always reminding us of our call to be a loving people, to be a people who are truly exemplifying the teachings of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. And much of his presentations here at our recent Advancing the Faith Bible Conference really blessed me in that regard. I know I've listened to his presentation about two or three times, really just asking the Lord to bless me with wisdom regarding how can I be more loving? How can I truly heed the Lord's command to love him with my mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself? So, Rick, of course, I'm very grateful that you decided to join with us for this interview this evening. And we're going to get to talking with Rick here in a moment. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Mike Miano. I serve as the director for the Power of Preterism Network and as the pastor of the Blue Point Bible Church. Reason that's important this evening is because our Advancing the Faith Bible Conference was held here in Blue Point, New York, at the Blue Point Bible Church. So, of course, I have to say a hearty thank you to the leadership at Blue Point Bible Church, to the membership, as we went through and made the decision to host our 9th annual Bible conference. You might call it a preterist conference. I think some folks have gotten into the habit of doing that, and rightly so, because we are a group of Christians who understand the teachings and agree with the teachings of preterism. And some among us maybe wouldn't identify themselves as preterists. We do consider ourselves a preterist church at Blue Point. So most of the folks that spoke there would be at least preterist friendly and would say that they can interact with us nonetheless. So I'll share more of that about that with you in a moment here. Just wanted to introduce you to our program. Of course, many of you know the Preterist Power Hour is a ministry provided to you through the Power of Preterism Network. And you can learn more about our efforts by visiting our website, powerofpreterism.com, and or following us on Facebook at the Power of Preterism Network. So let me go ahead and open us in a word of prayer. I'll share a couple more introductory thoughts, and we will jump right in on our time with Rick Welch this evening. Let's pray. Mighty God, we rejoice in you. We thank you for all that you've given to us, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, in possessing all these things, we ask that you stir us to increase, that we would constantly be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, not by way of our own striving, but by way of your fruition, your work, Lord, as you are the one who waters the seed. You are the one who sprouts the seed and leads it to what it's to grow into. So we rejoice in you and what we have, Lord, and we thank you for our identity in you. We ask that we be blessed in this evening. We trust that we will, because we know Rick has just continued to be a great expounder upon your love and a demonstration of your love. And we look forward to talking with him tonight and gleaning some further insights on how we might advance the faith by walking in love. We rejoice in you, Lord. We thank you for all that we have in you again. And we ask that this time not only be edifying to us, but most of all, Lord, glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So jumping right in, you know, what it was is back in the beginning of 2023, we decided at the Blue Point Bible Church that we would host another annual conference. We enjoy having folks travel from all over the United States, even all over the world. One year we had folks from Thailand join us for our conference. And, you know, I think we bring at Blue Point Bible Church, we bring something unique to the Bible conference or the preterist conference, if you will, arena, as we hope to be just authentic in our fellowship. We hope to talk about the pertinent things within the body of Christ, within the preterist community. And this year we had discerned that what is necessary is an advancing of the faith. And we really leaned in on two Bible texts, if you will. The first one being Hebrews chapter 6. In the first century, we see that there was this similar problem that we have in the church today, where folks would find themselves captivated by, divided by, if you will, the minutia the details, or even sometimes the foundational details that they shouldn't have been dividing over. Rather, they should be saying, this is our common salvation. So why would we divide over these particulars? You think of the writing of the book of Jude, for example. But now doubling back to Hebrews chapter 6, the writer, whoever you believe the writer to be, says, let us move on to maturity, not again laying the foundation of, and goes on to list, you know, the washing of the hands, you know, a lot of the Jewish rituals. Ironically enough, something I bring up often is they list the resurrection of the dead as one of those elementary things that we should be moving on from. In other words, not being divided by, but rather recognizing that there's a common salvation despite difference regarding the resurrection of the dead. And even right there in Hebrews 6, being that that was one of the elementary things they needed to move on from being divided by or being confused by, it shows you it should not be a divisive factor in the body of Christ. You know, we should rejoice that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. That's what we read in scripture. Jesus Christ caused the resurrection of the dead, if you will. And that's where we find our faith as Christians, is that that was Jesus, the resurrection, and we have resurrection life in him. Now, we could get into the minutia and argue about what that resurrection life might look like. And trust me, folks do it. You know, I've done it. Got into those debates and, you know, in discussions, and there's a time and a place for that. But I hope that, and again, the goal of our conference was to say, let us move on to maturity. And then we went on and looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, where it tells us that we are to possess certain things. And, you know, the preterist community, we're very good at talking about what we possess. We have it now. But I think we miss out on a key component of 2 Peter 1, where it says, and we must increase in these things. So, you know, we rejoice in what we have. Yes, amen. But we also trust God that he is a God of increase. And that's where we came up with this idea of advancing the faith. How might we stir the body of Christ, stir the preterist community to advancing the faith, moving on to maturity, which became a phrase that we used a lot at the conference. So then we went about and created, you know, a list of speakers, reached out to folks who could join us. And, you know, Rick Welch was one of our necessary people. Reason being, we see the work with the Burrows of Berea, and we know that that is an advancing work. Having conversational podcasts where folks are willing to agree to disagree on some of the details, even the important details, dare I say, is such a beneficial thing. And then there's even they welcome an atheist in the room, which, you know, is not something I know we rejoice about that. We joke, you know, and there's a lot of that. But as Christians, we should know that's not something that should be outrageous to us. That should be our reality, that we love conversation with minds and hearts that are willing to converse regarding God's truth. And I always appreciate Andy. I praise God for having the privilege to have met him. And so again, when we thought of who do we want to invite to help us think about advancing the faith, Rick Welch was surely somebody that we brought up and we're looking forward to talking with and hearing from. And Rick, you blessed us very much. So with that, I'll go ahead and bring us in on some discussion this evening. You know, before I do that, Rick, before I bring you on, I wanted to just remind the folks that are listening and you of a quote, you know, because the next thing I had done was I reached out to Rick and I said, hey, can you provide a quote to me regarding advancing the faith? And I want to just read that to us tonight. Bless us with that quote. And then we'll welcome Rick into the program and allow him to maybe further expound upon that quote. I know I had sent a question saying, how has he experienced the need or discerned the reality of what he said regarding advancing the faith? So we'll hear more, Rick, from you as soon as I share this quote and you want to jump in there. So pardon me. Rick had said, and I know there was the joke at the conference that he had the longest quote, but again, catch the point of the quote. Advancing the faith as a concept is to share your faith in words and deeds. The gospel must be preached for others to hear. This means that there must be some to speak this gospel in a way in which they have been called. There are numerous mediums that one can be utilized to accomplish this. I have personally found ways to share the gospel through movies, podcasts, videos, preaching, relationships, communication, etc. However, in my opinion, there is a powerful tool that believers have been given that must take center stage: love. It is through loving one another that others will know we follow Jesus Christ and his teachings. It is through loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength that we adhere to the greatest commandment ever uttered to mankind. It is through loving our neighbor as ourselves that it is likened to the greatest commandment. It is through love that we can avoid becoming sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is through love that we learn patience with others despite our differences. It is through love and abiding love of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ that we can go the second mile. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at least say his name right, come on, that we can go the second mile. Give our cloaks and being a servant to all and take a strike on one cheek and offer the other. It is through love that we can learn the art of being a servant to all mankind, just like our master and teacher was. It is through love that we not only seek our own and consider our own ourselves more, that we consider others more than ourselves. Advancing the faith will only be possible if we are bearing the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. If these fruits are absent, then we become the sounding brass and tinkling cymbal that no one will truly listen to. Our faith without works is dead. We are to share in all that we have, give to the widows, orphans, and the poor. Advancing the faith is doing unto the very least of the brethren. We are to clothe the naked, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick and the incarcerated, and see them as we see Christ Jesus. Without these things, our faith is meaningless and unnecessary to advance at all. Eschatology matters, but not to someone starving or naked. Amen. Rick, thank you for such thoughts. Please jump in here. Hi, and of course, welcome. Please jump in and share with us some of your thoughts, why you felt that that was such an important thing to say as you thought about advancing the faith.
First, I want to say thank you for having me on again on the Power of Preterism Network. And I was very humbled by the invite to speak. It was the first conference that I'd ever been invited to speak at. I loved the theme of advancing the faith. And I'll just say this about you. You're one of my favorite people on planet Earth. You're such a sweet person. You care. I know you can be hard when it's time to be hard, but you really do have a pastor's heart, and I appreciate that about you. And I'm sure that Andy and I have all of the Burrows, we've spoken about you. We want you to come back down and sit in the studio with us again and do a face-to-face study like we did last time. I would love that.
Well, praise God. Yes, it was a blessing to be there. And, you know, obviously, the more I've listened to the podcast, I think the more I've become comfortable with coming back and sitting in the room yet again. It was such a great time to be there last time. And folks were so gracious in the conversation. I think I just made myself more nervous than I needed to be. But, you know, again, thank you for that. And thank you for acknowledging my following after Jesus. I just hope that we all can live in a way where we can say, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Amen.
Absolutely. You know, in this world of what I like to call the knowledge vacuum, it's so nice to meet others that love the Lord with their whole heart and not so much with just their brain, right? To love the Lord your God with your mind is absolutely true. But it's like I said with my buddy Bob Cruikshank today, we were talking today, and he said, it's like they forgot how to love with their heart, though. You know, and it's something that I see pretty prevalent in today, not just in the preterist camp, but pretty much around the country that I live in, that loving others and putting others above ourselves is the last thing that anybody wants to do. And it's the first thing that Christ calls us to do. And so this is what we're looking for. When we're advancing the faith, they have to see that in us. And this isn't something that we manufacture of our own accord. This is something that is a fruit that the Spirit bears in us. And we have to be, you know, we are slaves to the Spirit. We have to listen to him. And, you know, when my flesh says, punch him in the mouth, and the Spirit says, hug him, I need to go with the hugging side, right? And I hear it. And anyone who believes in his name hears that and must answer that call. And that's how we advance the faith. And this is how those people will know that we're his disciples, is that how we love one another. And that's the church itself, how we love one another. And we are so fractured and divided, and there's 45,000 sects, you know, of Christianity, which make it look weak to some people, especially in the atheist camp, you know, that we can't, but I always laugh and say, well, none of you guys can agree either. You know, it's like, let's not just pick on the church today. But I feel a sense of a calling on my life to just learn how to love others the way that Christ loved us. And I got to tell you, that's a very humbling thought, because he gave everything. He gave it all, you know?
You know, Rick, you're right on. You know, yesterday we celebrate the Lord's Supper at the Blue Point Bible Church, the first Sunday of the month. And yesterday, as we consumed of the bread, you know, I highlighted that exact point that, you know, Jesus said that if you eat of the bread, you know, you have a place in me, right? If you don't eat of the bread, you don't have a place in me. Or if you don't eat of my flesh, I think, you know, I'm making it cleaner, of course. But, yes. You know, less. His point was that in consuming his flesh, we identify in him. And what is identifying in him other than the fact that he was willing to give of his body for the sake of others? Therefore, when we're consuming that, we're saying, I'm willing to do the same. I'm willing to die to myself so that I might live for others. And you know, so amen. And, you know, you said something during the conference. My takeaway, one of the major takeaways I had from one of your presentations was where you said that we are not to be a fair weather friend of Jesus. And I think about that because, you know, we talk about good days, but I think even in your presentation, you were highlighting more so that, you know, when we have those conversations or those people that aren't maybe that, you know, where we think they should be or acting the way that we think they should be, it's all too easy to dismiss them or to say, you know, they're out, we're in, and then do all these things. And to me, that makes me, if I do that, it makes me a fair weather friend. In other words, I'm going to be kind to the people who love, I'll be like a Gentile, right? You know, the Gentiles love. And, you know, that was really something that stuck out to me. And I wanted to ask you if you could, I don't know if you have any particulars in regards to your presentation, but that was really something that I wanted to ask you to build upon and maybe speak to. And if you can lead us in on, I know you told some stories during your presentation, especially the, and the greatest of these is love. If you can share with us a little bit of that and what does it mean to be a true friend of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll talk about Reverend Benny Newton just, you know, briefly, but before that, you know, Jesus said that if you love those that love you, then what reward do you have, right? Don't even the Republicans do that? That's not what he said. In the King James Version, it says publicans, not Republicans, but it's just funny.
That was good. I didn't catch that. Amen. That's right. That's right. Publicans, not Republicans. Jeez. Oh, good one.
So, But what he says there is so profound. If you love those that love you, what reward do you have? So the antithesis of if you love those that don't love you, what reward do you have? And it's obvious what the reward is. It's Christ, and it's eternal life, and it's, you know, this abundant life that he's promised that we have, that we possess. And when I wanted to open up the, you know, my talk, I wanted to talk about something that was profoundly important to me, something that had affected me. And that was during the LA riots, whenever I was in high school, I saw this, this minister named Reverend Benny Newton. It was just an image, just a video image, a very short clip of him standing over this beaten and bloody Guatemalan man with his Bible in the air, and it intrigued me. And when I learned more about the story, about how he had jumped in, you know, to help him while he was being beaten by the rioters, and he said, if you kill him, you're going to have to kill me too. And I thought, this man was willing to lay down his life for a stranger. And, you know, for me, it's one thing to read the Bible and to see those kinds of stories, you know, where Jesus would say, you know, greater has no man than this than lay down his life for his friends, you know. But what about laying down your life for some stranger? This is like an extreme love. And it made me think of, you know, as a young teenager, I was like, what is it about Reverend Benny Newton that made him willing to lay his life down for somebody he didn't know? And it's because how much he loved the Lord and how much he trusted the Lord. And he did. And what's really strange about it is that, you know, all of the dynamics of race that were going on around him, and it was meaningless. It was absolutely meaningless. Benny Newton saw color and understood color. He helped a lot of African-American men who were on Skid Row, and that was part of his ministry. But he also helped homeless people and, you know, unwed mothers. He did a lot of amazing things with his Light of Love ministry there. But I didn't know anything about Benny Newton. But see, Benny Newton preached a message to me that is still alive in me today. It had eternal consequences. It was an amazing story. And also how Fidel Lopez, that Guatemalan immigrant, how he had, you know, accepted Christ as his savior and looked forward to meeting Reverend Newton in heaven, because Reverend Newton died a year after this event. And so, you know, I'd realized that I'd been going to church for quite some time, and I had this belief, and I was a part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and, you know, I was doing things in school. But when it came down to it, standing for what Christ told us to do was something that I kept hidden from my friends, because I didn't want people to ridicule me or to make fun of me or whatever. And then I realized in that time, I was like, if I don't stand up for who Jesus really is now, then he's not going to stand up for me. He's made it. If you deny me before others, then I'll deny you before my Father. Like, I began to see that, and I understood why. It wasn't because Jesus was mean. It's because Jesus was giving you everything, you know, like, I'm giving you all of this. So that to me was, that advanced my faith personally in such a radical way, seeing this man love a perfect stranger, even to the point where he was willing to die for him because he just trusted the Lord so much. And so I hope to meet Reverend Benny Newton in glory someday. I can't wait to tell him, you know, how the Lord used him. And by the way, I mean, that was 1992. I mean, that was forever ago for me. And it was, to be able to, you know, to still think about it, even now, that's the kind of stuff that I would like for my life. I want others to see Christ in me, you know? He's going to go around. I mean, it's still out there in the video. And, you know, you can go YouTube it right now. He's still out there. He's still out there standing over that man, praying for him and risking his life for him. And that's what he's remembered by. Can you imagine being remembered as somebody willing to lay their life down for someone else because of the Lord Jesus Christ? It doesn't get any better than that. That's not right. To me.
You're absolutely right. You know, I think it's so important for us. You know, I love the Martin Luthers, the John Calvins, the John Wycliffes, you know, John Wesley, all these big names that we talk about that were preachers. But I think it's important for every believer to develop an interest and an understanding of someone who exemplified love in a way that challenges and convicts them. You know, I know I have, I often think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, tomorrow's his birthday, by the way. So, you know, great day to mention, you know, a man that walked in love, died, unfortunately, you know, being willing to serve others. And he went through, you know, he has a whole story, obviously, in and of itself, some mental quandaries. He had to find himself in conviction he had to have regarding, you know, Nazi Germany. Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish priest, you know, who just gave up his life just for the benefit of others. Again, I want to emphasize, I think it's so important. And that's what I appreciated about your presentation, Rick, was you gave us a demonstration of someone who lived in love. And I think it's important for us to all have someone. You don't have to have the same person. However, find someone in Christian history that convicts you and challenges you to live in love. And again, it will look different, which is beautiful. I think, you know, one of the things I caught from your quote, and you know how I feel about the body of believers and how we all have different nuances and ways of working. When I read your quote, I thought about that. That's what Rick's highlighting, is that there's so many different ways to love. And if we can all, you know, whether it's sticking up for people, you know, I preached at the conference about getting in the way of violence. And I believe Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Maximilian Kolbe were beautiful demonstrations of that. But then there's those in there, obviously Benny Newton. I mean, hello, that what are you talking about, getting in the way of violence? That, you know, but then there's so many ways to do something like that, right? There's so many ways to love. People need, you know, if all we did was focused all of our efforts on the violence, well, then the poor widows, all the other folks, the babies that just need to be taught life and life principles. So there's so many ways. And think about the women of God that have blazed the trails of loving, you know, children that were theirs and children beyond their home. You know, I would encourage folks, men, women, find a person in Christianity that you can hold to that story and remember and be convicted by their love. So I definitely appreciate that, Rick, in that regard. And, you know, in your second presentation, you brought us, and please, you know, don't feel that I'm pushing us into any, you know, not talking about the first, but I did want to bring up in your second presentation, I loved how you brought us into, which again is a common thing, brought us into outlining 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because I know one of our elders at the church, he often says that, you know, we've relegated 1 Corinthians 13 to a wedding passage where, you know, we need to kind of get out of that rut there and realize that there's some things to really wrestle with on an everyday reality regarding, you know, what love is. And I might ask you, what are some of the things in 1 Corinthians 13, when you read through that text and you see how it's defined, what are some things that stand out to you or maybe challenge you?
The thing that amazes me about 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm in agreement with your brother there that, you know, says that it gets relegated to weddings. It's true. I've asked people, why don't they say, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her? Let's talk about that on wedding day instead of all of the things that people want to pretend to do. That wasn't nice to say, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like for show is what it feels like. The thing that's amazing to me is that Paul kicks this off, you know, saying, I'm going to show you a better way. This is a better way, because he's talking about the gifts, right? Though I have the tongues of men and of angels, right? Wow. Like, he's talking about having these ability to speak other tongues or to have this heavenly tongue or whatever it may be, tongues of messengers. And then, or if I have the ability to do all prophecy, we know that Paul had all these gifts that come from the Holy Spirit that the church experienced. But what he said was, but I'm going to show you a better way. So we think of those gifts as super miraculous and supernatural and amazing and wow, and none of them are as powerful as love. None of them. The most powerful gift that you could ever give is love. That's the gift that's given. That's the gifts that you give. So that's what's powerful to me. And so with 1 Corinthians 13, he lays it out to the point to where it's like, you know, it doesn't seek its own. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, you know, we all seek our own. We were taking care of our families and we're doing that. But what does it exactly mean? It's challenging. It's saying, let's not do what's the natural. We're not worried about the natural. Now we're worried about doing something that is spiritual, something that the Holy Spirit is going to perform in you. And at the end of that, he talks about, look, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He says there's three things left: faith, hope, and love. These three, right? But faith, it's impossible to please God without faith, but the greatest one is love. You get it? Powerful. So I don't know why, and I'm not pointing fingers, but I don't know why we have such a hard time with that. But may I share something that previously happened to me?
Please, absolutely.
Yeah. So September 27th in Western North Carolina, Hurricane Helene came in and devastated my where we live. Okay, I mean, it devastated. It took out bridges, roads. Many people perished in that storm. We didn't have power for weeks. We didn't have, you know, people lost their homes. And it was absolutely awful. And we experienced it right here where I live. And right up the street is a church that I used to go to. It's a Futurist church. They preach the rapture Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They're all about dispensationalism. I've known the pastor for years. My wife was born and raised in this church. And we went there for a while, and I switched and went to a Reformed Baptist church. And while I was at this Reformed Baptist church is whenever the storm hit. And I got to tell you, some people didn't have water. I mean, they didn't even have drinking water. Like there was nothing available. They couldn't get out from their homes. They were trapped. There were people that they needed oxygen, but they couldn't run oxygen because they didn't have electricity and they didn't have generators. It was a perilous time for a lot of people. And the pastor of that church went into his church. His name's Philip Youngblood. I'm going to say his name because I love him to death, and he's a sweet man, and he really stepped up during the storm. He went and he prayed in the church, and he asked God if he could be a funnel. He's like, let whatever you want to bring here, let me be a funnel and make sure that I can get it and funnel it to where it needs to go. And I'm telling you, when he says that my cup runneth over, he means it, because God provided so much through his people and through others to filter, to bring to that church. And my wife was down there for hours and hours, and I was out on the road doing, I'm not saying this as a brag, I'm saying that God used his people. And when he did, it didn't matter anymore about specific doctrines and how we held them. And the reason I say that is because the basic necessities of life were a problem. And what does Jesus say? You didn't come to me whenever I was hungry. You didn't come to me when I was thirsty. When I was in prison, you didn't come to see me. When I was in the hospital or when I was sick, you didn't visit me. You know, like he says, to those who do this to the very least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so what this church did, and what a lot of our area churches across all kinds of different denominations, was forget the denominations, forget the divisions, let's get to work, and let's start helping others. And people who didn't necessarily believe in Jesus showed up at the church saying, can we help? And the answer is yes. Let's put it all together. Let's work together. And it's just, it was a powerful thing to witness and to see that. And it made me realize that, yes, doctrine is important. Of course it's important. Yes, learning and knowledge and education is important. Of course it is. But when we fail to be personable, when we fail to be able to talk to others and be kind. By the way, when I wrote that quote to you, I forgot one word, gentleness and self-control. Gentleness is another fruit. Again, it's not something natural that we do ourselves. This is something the Spirit does in us. But he tells us, be gentle. Have self-control, yes. Be kind. I mean, just being kind. I mean, that doesn't happen as much as it used to, at least where I live. I mean, people are jerks. You're from New York. Have they been jerks longer than they have been down here? I don't know.
No, we don't have jerks in New York, you know? It's just a place where jerk-free, right?
Imagine jerk-free.
Yeah, obviously. I agree with your assessment. You know, people really have become cold-hearted. You know, it's look at what folks, the futurist community, look at what they say, that, you know, that callousness of heart that Jesus spoke of that would be evident in the last days. I mean, it seems, though, you know, we've given a lot of evidence, if you will, to that idea. I disagree with the idea, but it's on full display that folks do seem much more calloused, much more frustrated, much more prone to, you know, walk over someone. I was reading even just earlier today. I mean, we see it on social media, for example, you know, and I know bad people existed before social media. But, you know, the point is what you see on social media is that people will film, you know, a horrible situation rather than do anything to lean in and right. help. You know, while I want to say, you know, the world is better today than it was in ancient times past, and there's a place for that conversation as well. But I have to say, you know, you look into, I watch films about, you know, and in real life stories about, you know, the medieval times or even here in the United States during, like, let's say, Civil War end times. And you read these stories of people that were willing to serve their fellow man in ways that I don't really see a lot of people doing today. I don't see people stretching themselves to say, you know what, my job is to help my common man, regardless to my distinctions and differences. And, you know, so you're speaking my love language. And I agree with you. I think we need to see far more of that in the body of Christ. And, you know, even from some conversations we were having earlier, many people here in this room are members of the Blue Point Bible Church. And we've been having those conversations where we know that that's how they know, you know, we sing the hymns, we see it in scripture. They know we are his disciples by our love. And you know, that's where it's, again, it's not a gimmick. We never want our love, right? We don't want people to think we love them so that we can get them into the church. But we also, as the church, must not lose the fact that that's what we are to be exemplifying to the world, what it looks like to be a loving community. You know, I'll say this one more thing, Rick, is that when you read Isaiah 2, right? And it talks about that in the last days, that mountain would be set up, and it says that they would trickle up to that mountain and they would say, teach us his ways. What ways do we suppose that is? You know, how to be mean or, you know, how to, you know, no, that's not it. It's love. How we can be the most loving people possible on this planet. So amen, brother.
In the land of the free, where dreams are born and legends are made, an unsettling phenomenon lurks in the shadows. Join us on the Burroughs of Berea podcast for our groundbreaking series, All American Cults. Discover the untold stories behind America's most enigmatic cults, from the mesmerizing charisma of their leaders to the unquestioning loyalty of their followers. What drives these communities to the brink of devotion and desperation? We delve into the heart of these cults, exploring their unique rituals, their alluring promises, and the chilling truths that lie beneath. Are these cults a reflection of our deepest fears, or simply a mirror of our society's vulnerabilities? Tune in to the Burroughs of Berea podcast, All American Cults.
Coming March 17th, only on Patreon. Visit www.patreon.com/theburroughsofberea for more details. That's www.patreon.com/theburroughsofberea.
I'll say this too. We live in a very exciting time, Michael. We live in a time where people would rather film others than help them, where people would rather be mean than be kind. We live in a time where people are tearing each other down and everybody in the country is divided and everything just seems so harsh. So where's the light? The light, Jesus Christ is the light of it. We are the temple. This is where they should be coming. So if we're going to bicker amongst ourselves, people aren't going to be interested. So I'm trying to avoid those as much as possible. I will listen and I will engage doctrine. I love learning and I will always try to learn. But whenever I have one person tell me, oh, that person, they're doing it wrong. They don't understand all of the doctrines correct. And this person needs to watch this. Don't go near them. They're covenant creationists. It's like, stop. Stop. We're not children. A lot of these people, like in covenant creation that I've met, they love the Lord Jesus so much. And I see it in their lives and in their families. And it's like, I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn and I'm going to at least try to see from their perspective. But then you have the other ones like, oh, it's IBV or CBV, or is it Calvinism, or is it? Dude, all these doctrines matter and it's important. But not if others are suffering and you're not helping them. And we have a whole world of people that are suffering. We have a whole lot of people that need love and they need to know who Christ is. Let's focus on that and let's try to love one another, you know, is to the best of our ability, and where we lack, the Spirit take up and do it for us. That's it.
Amen, brother. You know, you're absolutely correct. You brought up a point that I wanted to ask you, because now here we are, we're talking about love, right? And we've seen many movements go by, right? And these ideas of love, you know, we just have to love each other. And I know there's some folks that are listening to this that would be on that other side of this conversation where they would say, well, there has to be dangers and pitfalls here. There has to be a danger. You let in on one. I think maturity is important, right? I do think there's a place for saying, I teach my children to do things differently than, let's say, I would say to an adult. You know, there's environments that my children should not go into that as an adult, I maybe would challenge you to go into, to, you know, maybe challenge some of your sensibilities, if you will. Peter, get out of the boat, so to speak. I think there's a time and a place for that. So I guess I want to ask you, what would you say to those that say, oh, we're setting the body of Christ up here for some false unity, or we're loving too much? You know, what would you say to someone that might discern that?
I would look at how Jesus taught his disciples, and I would listen closely to what he did. The disciples argued amongst themselves about, you know, one day they were just saying, where did he get the meat from? Where did he get the meat? And he's like, are you still talking about meat? Like, what? I was talking about the things that I eat, like what meat is. That's the maturity part, right? And he has to teach the maturity. To me, it's fairly basic, okay? The gospel is one of the simplest messages that have ever been given to human beings. You don't need to be an intellectual to understand it. You have to be called of God. I know that. I know that I heard his voice and I responded to it. And therefore, because of that, that response, I began to grow. Even Christ grew in wisdom and stature. But the gospel itself is a very simple thing. You know, mankind, when Christ came, mankind was completely lost and destitute. And Christ was all holiness. And he did everything that the prophets had said that he would do. And he accomplished all that the Father's will was so that he could give us this reconciliation with the Father. And if we believe in his name, it's such a simple thing. It really is. Now, understanding how it worked, that's where the knowledge vacuum begins. And that's okay. It's okay. Wanting to understand how it worked. To me, why it worked, that mattered because of what Christ did. And I didn't understand a single thing at all about doctrine, but I knew that I had a Savior after just this, in this moment when I was quickened, when I was made alive. So yes, there are places in the scriptures where Jesus said, I hate the teachings of the Nicolaitans, and I know you hate those teachings too. Well, what were the teachings of the Nicolaitans? Well, you know, adultery, spiritual fornication, like all the things that they're trying to say things about Jesus that are not true. Right? They're trying to be self-indulgent and saying that this is what God would want, to have extreme grace and be able to do whatever you want and never, you know, have to, that's how good it was. That's what Jesus did, these indulgences that people have. Well, we know that's not what Jesus taught, even in the most basic terms. So yes, there are certain aspects of things where aspects of like conversations where people will come to you and, you know, and say, well, you know, I think you should be able to do crack cocaine and Jesus is going to be cool with it. Well, we're not going to do that. Okay. He would not want you to be given a strong drink. So what makes you think that you could go and just be on crack cocaine? You know, like there are certain things that we know better about. But when it comes to believers, we all have this very basic first beginning, which is that we trusted and believed in Christ. That's what got us all started. So if we can all at least get back to that point, being like, you know what? You've come a long way. You've learned a lot. I love to ask people questions like, do you love Jesus? I love asking that question because you'll see a lot of surprise in people when you ask that question, because they're so busy being right that they forget why they want to be right. You see what I mean? They're so busy being right, they forget why they want to be right. And the reason why they want to be right is because they want to know the Lord more. They want to understand their faith better. And that's all well and good. But if we can get back to the basics, I feel like people who said, like, and I remember the day that I believed Jesus. Every person I've ever interviewed on a testimony, except for maybe one, had a story of when they met Christ for the first time, and whether they believe they chose him or later on they found out that he chose them, any way you look at it, there was a moment when they began to believe. And that's, for me, like, that's where it's at. Like, that's where it's at for us. Yes, we can go and we can learn and we can do more, but really it's really about that initial part of the relationship between you and Christ and this Holy Spirit coming upon us and beginning to bear fruit in our lives. So, you know, I understand why people ask that question, like, oh, you can, when is loving too much? Well, I'm fairly certain that the Holy Spirit will tell you. And I've never found a time when he told me to stop loving somebody. It's never happened to me, ever. Not once. Not once in my faith has he told me to stop loving somebody. Even when they hate him. Because remember, Christ died for the ungodly. So, I don't know. I would just say that I would be able to trust the Holy Spirit. And that's the other thing that's always baffled me, is when I see especially Christians arguing and fighting and or all of these different doctrines, and I wonder, is like, do we all have the same Holy Spirit? Like, what's going on? It seems like this is part of the journey. Like, we're all in different places. But really, where the crux of it all is how to love each other in the midst of it.
Amen.
That's where I'm at.
Well said, you know, and I want to definitely appreciate the point that you made there, that, you know, one of the ways that we can, you know, when we start to say, who would Jesus tell me to stay away from? Well, there's a way to do that study, right? Go into scripture, mm-hmm. Who Jesus would tell his disciples to stay away from, or how did Jesus tell his disciples to deal with, let's say, distinction, division, or other people that are not among us, right? Or people that are doing something different than us. You know, look into those responses. I think that's such a beautiful thing. You know, and I did want to highlight something, by the way. I want to encourage folks. I'm a homework guy, so I'm giving you homework tonight, everybody. Hopefully you already caught my first one. Find someone that you can follow after in love and say, this is a good person that I want to emulate or challenge myself by. The second thing I want to mention tonight is something I got in the habit of doing. And tomorrow is Tuesday. So here's your homework. Testimony Tuesday. The Burrows of Berea has testimonies, a whole bunch of them. I haven't even made my way through. And folks that know me know I podcast listen. I'm a listener to podcasts. And there's just so many beautiful testimonies. So make it your business tomorrow to go and listen to one of the testimonies. Find a testimony there on the Burrows of Berea and be blessed by it. And you know, ask yourself, how does this testimony challenge me and speak to me, encourage me to live in love with people that have different stories? You know, that's one thing I get out of the testimonies. I'm like, I've listened to, for example, I'll mention it. I've been really hard on Gary DeMar over the years, you know, really just, you know, he's our theological giant. So, hey, I'm going to poke at him and, you know, push him, pull him. The poor man, you know, has been pushed and pulled by so many. And I say that because when I listen to his testimony and I listen to other folks' testimony, I remember Rob Cruikshank Jr.'s, you know, testimony there, you know, it was just just beautiful, Robert or Bob, you know, I know we know him as Bob. So, you know, when I listened to that, it caused me to realize, wow, I don't know these people the way that I thought I knew them. You know, and just do that more, folks. Let's do that more and listen to each other, understand each other. And another thing I wanted to just mention, Rick, that you're so right on is that what it seems you're saying, and it seems like many people have said, is that in order to advance the faith, we have to go backward. We have to go backward to the very foundation of our faith. And maybe that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying when they were saying, let us move on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. It wasn't that these things aren't important. It's that we have to move on to maturity and love each other despite the distinctions and the differences and the, you know, and I know, I'm sure you know as well, that is the heart, the hermeneutic, if you will, of the church, is that we're supposed to be an institution that, you know, you can say, he only eats vegetables, but he's of us. He eats meat. He's of us. And, you know, so we really do need to go back to that common salvation and not allow the divisiveness. You know, I know we don't have Judaizers today, but let me say we have Judaizers today. you know, we have folks that want to divide the church in a very similar way as they did then.
I have no issue engaging with anyone. Like you mentioned about like Gary DeMar, I always ask the same question of every person in a testimony. I'm very interested in the first time they ever heard the name Jesus Christ, because we know there's power in that name. I love that song. There's power in the name of Jesus. So I want to know, like, when was it when you heard it? And then how long was it before that name became so important to you that you began to follow him for the rest of your life? You know, there's a journey, and God, I've had so many people say, oh, you don't want to hear my testimony. I'm not that important. And it's like, do you understand that the Holy Son of God died for you? Do you get it? Like, do you understand how important you were to him and how important you were to the Father? Because remember, Jesus said to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. So it was the Father that loved you, and he's the one that sent his Son for you. You don't think your testimony is important? Yes, it is. It's more important than watching the Kardashians tonight, I can assure you. Okay? I want everybody to know how important they are. They are. Christ did this for them and for me.
That's right. You're so right, brother. And again, I think we really do need to learn about each other more, listen to each other more. I love that. And I know one of our elders, same elder I alluded to earlier, he brings that Hindu phrase of namaste, right? Up often. I see the God in you. I see the spark of the divine in you. And we really just need to get to the heart of that message. You know, it was Gandhi coming from that worldview there in the East who said, you know, I love your Jesus. I see very little of your Jesus in your Christians.
I don't like your Christians.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we've all seen the books, right? I love Jesus, hate the church. You know, these are realities. So we need to get back to the very foundation of what it means to be a people in love. And you know what? That even means loving the people that are not loving, which is a weird thing, right? You know, loving the people that are the dividers, divisive, and finding ways to say, you know what? And again, I think that's where we have to find maturity. If you're not one that has a stomach for, you know, folks that like to be divisive, well, then maybe your ministry is not to try to love that person as much as maybe mine, where I have a stomach to say, you know, you can call me heretic, you can yell at me, you can curse at me, you can even try to kick me. And I'll still say, you know what? Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. You know, I have some people, I'm saying that, by the way, I'm thinking of some people that have recently theologically, or at least social media wise, tried to kick me. And I'm saying, you know, God, speak to me, convict me to reach out to these people in love, have the conversations that are necessary. Might he do that to each of us? Amen. That's what we've
been. One of the things I said in my talk at my first talk, The Greatest of These is Love, is I was breaking down where Jesus told his disciples to bless them that curse you. And that word bless, you know, is the Greek word eulogio, which is where we get eulogy from. And we all know what eulogies are like. That's when we speak well of the person that's dead, right? We go to the ends of the earth to find all of the good that we want to say about the person. But that cursing is whenever somebody is looking at you and basically berating you and hating you and loathing you, and he's saying, speak well of them. That's not something that you're going to do naturally. This is not a natural thing. So in our time alone with God and in prayer, these are the things that we ask. I wonder if this is what Jesus did when he went and got alone on top of a mountain and was talking like, okay, I know the Spirit's leading me down into Jerusalem tomorrow, and I know they're going to say a lot of things to me, you know, and I'm going to stand on the truth, but I'm going to tell them this in love. And it took the power of the Spirit that filled him to do it. You know, I just can see it, you know, like, and I feel that same way. So, yes, it is not easy. It's not meant to be easy.
That's beautiful. Well said. You know, I'm thinking Jesus was saying to God in that moment, how am I going to answer the man who is going to give me over to die on the cross? How am I going to answer him when he asks me, what is truth? You know, or he asks me, you know, are you the Messiah? Obviously, there is that desire to just be like, let me show you, whereas Jesus very humbly responds that, you know, following what we read in Isaiah, where he was that sheep, you know, led to the slaughter, did not speak, did not defend himself. I think Jesus, and how might we all ask God tonight as we leave here tonight? Part of our mission is to be the most loving people on this planet. Might we leave here tonight saying, God, what people do I need to properly eulogize, right? To bless in my life? What people are you asking me to think differently of right now and maybe reach out to them? You know, we say that phrase, give people their flowers before they die, right? So what person is God challenging you to do that for this evening? And you know, Rick, I want to ask you, I know I give a lot of homework. I'm an application guy lately. I'm just like, you know, that's because I'm hard on myself. So therefore I've learned to be hard on my brethren. It's an action of love, if you will. But I want to ask you, you know, do you have a practical application or homework that you would want to encourage us to ponder as we, hopefully some of us, we've already listened to your messages. Some of us might make it our business to go back and listen to your messages. And I did want to let folks know that I appreciate the swap cast there on the Burrows of Berea, where they can listen to, I actually, just before you were on here tonight, I listened to it on the Burrows of Berea. So, you could go there and listen to Rick's one of the presentations there, which was, and the greatest of these is love. And then we have on the Blue Point Bible Church YouTube page, you can find the other presentation about love defined. But Rick, please, you have some homework for us, some things we need to be putting into practical application from your messages.
Yeah, I would go back to what Jesus said about those that, you know, strike you on your right cheek and give them to your left. But one of the things in my love defined portion was I was asking the question, you know, what do you do exactly? So let's say that you have someone in your life that you've never quite gotten along with, and you've tried to be kind to them and it's never seemed to work. Or maybe you have a family member that you're struggling with, or maybe there you have problems that are in your marriage. I would suggest that you go into your closet privately and that you would call on our Heavenly Father to help break down those barriers. He wants those barriers broken, and he uses us to do it. And if it means to humble ourselves, to apologize, sometimes it's hard to apologize, but let's perhaps, you know, even our faith can be offensive and it's understandable. We don't have to apologize for what we believe in, but maybe we've been a little harsh. Maybe we've said the truth so hard to somebody that's not a believer that we've thrown them off. They don't think about, you know, the Lord or love the way that we do. So the homework that I would ask for anybody is to find somebody in your life where there might be a problem in your relationship. And if you haven't been able to overcome it, to go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to give you not only the strength, but the words and the ability to love them. And don't expect, like, it's like when you say you're sorry in a relationship, you almost want them to say they're sorry too. Don't expect that. Say you're sorry and don't expect it in return. Don't seek something of your own, but to seek it for them, right? To seek it for them. So that would be something that's just a good starter, you know? It's worthwhile. And I always remember, if you listen to that testimony about Rodney Lewis, there was a moment in Rodney Lewis's life whenever he was heavily addicted to methamphetamines, and I was trying to share the gospel with him and his wife, Cherry, who was on our podcast, and it's like none of the words would get to them, and they would do some crazy things, like really wild and crazy things, you know, because of the drugs and the alcohol and everything. And I had this burden in my heart that the message couldn't get in there. And I went in this inner room, literally, I fasted. And again, this isn't about me. These are things that Jesus told us to do. I just wanted to do what Jesus said. And so I went into the inner closet, and I remember privately, not seeking, you know, I say this now after God worked His glory in all these people, but beforehand, and all glory belongs to Him anyway. But I remember as I was praying for them, I was like, God, it's like I can't reach Him. And God brought to remembrance that father that was so brokenhearted because his son was demon possessed, and the disciples weren't able to cast that demon out. They had tried, and Jesus comes up and he talks to the father, and he says, how long has this been going on? And the father says, it's since he was a youth. And he says, help me, right? And he says, I can help him if you only believe. And he says, I believe, help mine unbelief. I love that line because I felt that way. I pray for something and I'm immediately doubting it, right? So a lot of people say, well, God doesn't answer your prayer because you're doubting. Wrong. Actually, He answers your prayer because He helps you with the belief itself. So in your inner room, I wanted to reach Cherry and Rodney. I said, God, I don't know how. But I remember at the end of that story when the disciples said, well, how is it that you were able to cast the demon out and we weren't? And He said, there are some that you can only overcome through fasting and prayer. So I put that to practice. And I said, all right, what's the point of fasting? What's the point of prayer? You're not testing God. You're just putting what He told you to do into practice. So do that. Find an inner room. Literally, go find an inner room and close yourself in and talk to your Heavenly Father privately, and He will reward you openly. He's promised you this, and He does it. I have experienced it and continue to do so. So anything is possible. So if you have a relationship that seems completely severed and impossible to fix, our Holy Spirit can pierce way down farther than our mouth ever could.
Amen. Absolutely. Well said. And conviction is being sought. I know the Spirit is working on me. We all have somebody. You know, it'd be silly to say we don't.
We all do.
Yeah, amen. I definitely, and I think that's a great work to just be thinking through again and again, you know, constantly thinking that point through. So thank you, brother, for that insight. And now just one last question. And if you do have time, I will allow for folks to share a thought or ask a question at the conclusion. But please be mindful that we have gone up against the time that we're allotted here. But
yes.
Rick, question for you would be, you know, what's next for you? What are you doing? You know, where do you see advancing in the faith in your life? Where are you actively advancing the faith? And also, you know, what's on the table for Rick Welch that we might follow and follow you as you follow Christ?
So this year is interesting. You asked me to speak at your conference last year, and then I've been invited to speak at other conferences, which is new for me. I love to talk and jack my jaw. That's why I have a podcast. But I've never felt like I was the right person to be standing up in front of people and sharing things, you know, or teaching things. And I don't consider myself a teacher necessarily. I consider myself one who shares. I'm a sharer. I love to share what Jesus has done in my life. And I want anybody that I ever meet to know him. So this year, it's going to be different for me. It's going to be that I'm going to be traveling around and speaking to people, and I'm going to be sharing things. And I'm going to be focusing in on division. And I'll be speaking at Berean Bible Church in April, and I have two talks there called The Quotient, Part 1 and 2. And The Quotient is the answer to a division problem, so it's something that I'm going to be tackling there. And preterists know all about division, and so I'm going to be honing in on that and what it means and how to overcome it. And then in July, I will be speaking in Whitehall, Montana, at the Eschatology of Genesis Conference. And I'm bringing an opposing view, and I've been invited to do so. But the title of my talks there are The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Proto-Evangelium, Part 1 and 2. And I'm going to be working my way backwards. But in the meantime, I'm still going to be studying Covenant Creation. I'm going to be studying it. I'm reading Beyond Creation Science. And Tim Martin was kind enough to give me a few of his books for the Burroughs, and I've got it. And I've been reading that. I've been reading some works by John Walton that he had sent me. Because a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ that I know that are dear to me, and I see the love of Christ in them, they hold to this view. And I'm not saying that I'm converting, and a lot of people get upset, but I see this love in them, which is very alluring for somebody like me. But you know, of course, every camp's got their troublemaker. But that's what I'm doing this year, and I'm also trying. But what I'm really trying to do is to find a way, if possible, that we can unite and we can share this incredible message of fulfillment. You know, preterism brings such a beautiful worldview. It's such a beautiful worldview, and so many people don't know it. And I wish we could stop fighting with each other and could turn ourselves towards those that are out in the outer darkness, and so that they can see the light and let them know that the gates are always open, you know, and to truly be open, that the gates are truly open. So that's what's new for me this year, speaking about those kinds of things and really developing, but also just sharing the gospel with every single person that I meet.
Praise God. Yes. Amen. You know, we will continue to follow the Burroughs of Berea, of course, to see what's new with you. And of course, you're on Facebook. People can follow you on Facebook, find you there. What I will say is we've promoted and we're going to keep promoting the Berean Bible Church Conference. I think my wife and I are planning to be there. And then also.
You are?
Yeah, we're planning to do the drive. We're pretty much 90%. We're there pretty much at this point. We just have to buy our tickets and then work out the hotel. So, praise God for that. I look forward to fellowshipping with you. And, you know, Rick, what I'm really rejoicing in is that we are walking together. We are following Jesus. We knew that together, but we're walking together as well. Because if you listen to our recent Preterist Power Hour session, actually, we do it at the end of the last Friday of the month. And we just did one a couple last Friday. And we talked about exactly that, the division in the community, how we need to learn how to have more constructive, healthy conversations and dialogues. And again, you know, I have a distinct perspective. I take a Jewish parshat perspective where the Jews were okay with, you know, I often wonder this. How could the Jewish community be okay with a Sadducee and a Pharisee in the same? They were somehow a part of the same community, and they figured that out. They worked it out in a way where we might totally disagree with you, and we think, you know, you're so far off that we're going to create our own, you know, brand. But at the same time, they never said they weren't Jews. And I think we as Christians need to learn from that and find a way where we can have staunch differences, and I don't know that we're ever going to get completely along. Was it the job of the man who thought that he could eat all things to convince the one that only eats vegetables that he can eat all things? No, that's not what Paul says. So I don't know why, when it comes into a lot of theological conversations, we can't do the same. If that was a real deal issue in how you lived your life and where you sat and who you ate with, we're not talking about that. We're talking about an idea you think you know, and again, I don't want to take away from folks, but we have to be careful with that and be willing to say there has to be nuances that are there. So I hope to develop that a bit more and offer up some, we're working on a thing called Team Preterist Roundtables, where we want to just get our team together. You're a preterist. Okay, cool. Well, let's talk, because there's a lot of difference in the preterist community, despite the common cloak we all put on, right? So let's talk about it. Let's be willing to have a conversation, and I'm willing to hear people out and go home. And I have my gang, if you will, my church, where I'm allowed to talk with them. They see things the way I do, and I encourage people to find people that see things the way they do. And we won't talk bad about you. Hereticize you. We'll just say we have a difference. And that's okay. I have that, I was talking earlier about some of the Church of Christ differences with, I'm Sovereign Grace Reformed, and, I have brethren and friends, if you will, that are Church of Christ. And I've learned to just appreciate the conversation. There's things that we agree on, disagree on, areas where they sharpen me, and I think I need to grow in. And, so folks, let's do that all the more. I'm glad to be walking with you in this, Rick, because I look forward to your presentations. The quotient term definitely intrigues me, so I look forward to hearing you more on that in the future. Mm-hmm. Do you have me to unmute some mics? And I want to give you a moment to say something there, but do you have a moment for me to unmute mics for the feedback or two?
Absolutely. I just wanted to say thank you. I'm in this with you, brother. We're working on this together. It's amazing.
That's right. Praise God. All right. Well, folks, if you feel you want to add a thought, a comment, or a quote, please know that we are up against the time. So Let's try to be concise here. But Edward, I see you're jumping in. So please share a thought or two with us.
Okay. I have a brief three-paragraph thing that I had written while we were discussing things. Christ has given us everything, including his life, so we can at least live for him in the demonstration of love, especially of the stranger and those who despise you and use you inappropriately. We receive the gift of love that we may bless others with, the gift of love that was given to us. The gospel is the light to our feet and a lamp to our path in demonstrating meeting the need of the needy. That's what I had written there. In that regard, that's what I had learned from the discussion. And I wanted to encourage, Rick, I wanted to encourage Rick that I had listened to his podcast about Here I Am Now or something like that.
Yes.
What
do I believe right now? Is that what you're talking about? What do I actually believe? Yes.
I was really blessed by that. And I wanted to encourage you that, like us all, that we, like Pastor says, we seek, study, and prove all things and things of this nature. So we're still seeking. And I encourage you to continue seeking like you have been. And I know you believe the Bible and that the Bible is the final authority. And I've noticed that. When you came to positions where you were, you saw the views on each different aspects of people's ideas. You saw where they came from, and you read the Bible, and the Bible told you something that you saw clearly, right? But then the other views, you said, okay, they have validity as well. But I encourage you to, whatever the Bible says, have faith and trust the Bible. Trust the Bible. I think that will definitely guide you in the direction in which you need to go. I know that I say that for myself as well. Trust the Bible, and other perspectives are good, useful in many ways, but trust the Bible as a final authority.
You're absolutely right. I remember, you know, in that particular episode, I had said, you know, that I had been introduced to preterism through the corporate body view. And then later I had been shown different parts of the individual body view. And then later I'm shown parts about looking at Genesis 1 in a completely different light as a covenant. And, you know, when I became a full preterist, that was not easy for me. It took me some time, you know, but I did trust God's word, and you're right. You're 100% right. But it's whenever these men who have been writing for 20, 30, 40, 50 years who've studied and they've got this view, it's like, look, I've had about a week to really put into this. You know, like I do, I'm a very busy man. You know, I run businesses and I, you know, I have a podcast and I've got a family and I've got a lot of things that I do. And I'm really trying to keep up with everybody. And these people are brilliant. And I want them to know that I respect them and I respect their work and that I'm giving some time to it. I'm not just going to dismiss certain things because I do want to know the truth of God's word. I really do.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. And what I also wanted to say too, briefly, you know, so that's just great to advice. anyone that the Bible is new to many people, because there was a time that it was illegal to read the Bible. It was only for those that were in positions to read the Bible, and you had to trust their word. So it's kind of new that everyone can read the Bible and share and get it from the pastor and follow along with the pastor and, you know, and have your questions and things of this nature. This is new, to at least to me, from what I've seen, you know. So I can understand where, you know, people may come up with different ideas and views. You know, it's understandable because, you know, it's always been that way throughout history, because we did study on history in our Bible studies. So it's always been that way. And, you know, it's going to continue to be that way. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Amen. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
I want to give a moment for anyone else. Thank you, Edward, for jumping in there and sharing some thoughts with us. And then, amen. I don't see any other mics unmuting. So, Rick, I want to thank you for your time this evening. I want to thank you for, you know, your ministry, your service to the body of Christ. And, of course, you're convicting us that we need to be a people who will do the work of love, doing the work, which also means challenging ourselves to do the, you know, that inner closet prayer, that inner closet examination, and say, God, convict me of the people I need to love better or love more or love in general, you know, but Lord, convict us and lead us to that wisdom this evening. I thank you, Rick. Any thoughts you want to share in closing?
No, just I appreciate the fact that you've done this, your conference for so long, and that you've been faithful at your church for so long. And it just, I've always loved that about you, that pastor's heart of yours. I've said that over and over. And I just encourage others to look at Blue Point Bible Church, your sermons, and also the Power of Preterism Network. You have a wealth of information out there that you give away, and I think that's a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, I rejoice in Blue Point. Actually, it was today to the day. Believe it or not, this day, February 3rd, 2013, that the Blue Point Bible Church invited me to be a guest speaker at their church, where I was considered for as a candidate for the pastorate. So it was this day, 12.
How about that?
Yeah, amen. Praise God.
That's awesome.
Such a privilege to serve. And in closing, I just wanted to go ahead and mention to folks that are still tuned in here, you can go ahead and review these sermons. We will reshare them, of course, to make them a little bit more in front of the line of other videos that we've shared on our social media, etc. I will be putting up a catalog of this video, as well as some links that you could go ahead and get the Burrows of Berea and other resources from Rick in that regard. And we'll stay in touch, of course, and want to hear more from you, Rick. We'll be looking forward to listening to more and more of the Burrows of Berea podcasts. And for those of you that are following our trek to, as we're advancing the faith, tonight you have some homework, and I'm going to make sure I catalog it and post it on social media. We have homework to do. We have work to do if we're going to advance the faith. This wasn't a one-time event that we were seeking to host at the Blue Point Bible Church. This was a catalyst for growth in the body of Christ. And I think tonight we've touched on some very important things, some real work that you need to do. And we're going to continue leading you in on advancing the faith. Matter of fact, we have Daniel Rogers joining us at 10 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. That's February 6th. So if you want to tune in that morning, you'll be blessed by talking about his presentations and some homework from everyone. We're going to ask everyone, what is our homework leaving this conference? So we know that it wasn't something just relegated to 2024, but it's something we will continue to see manifest in our lives. And then also on Friday, January 7th at 11 a.m. Eastern, we'll have Johnny Ova from the Sound of Heaven Church joining us for a session. And we are still catching up with Pastor Steve Magwa, Robin, Catherine Carlton, even our exhortations. I know Edward gave a great exhortation at the conference. Jason D'Ambrosio gave a great exhortation. And then Deacon Ed Silsby, who wasn't able to be with us, but we had a great video presentation from him. I'm looking to catch up with everyone and have a good talk about how can we continue to advance the faith? And of course, I have some resources, but folks hear me talk all the time. So I'll continue to share my resources and share my programs here. And I hope you catch on to the spirit of what God is doing in and through his people in this time, this hour, this moment. Thank you, Rick, again. Thank you, all of you that are tuned in this evening, whether you're here in our live session or you're watching on Facebook. Might we all continue to rejoice in him? Might we do the work of going into our inner closet and saying, God, teach me to love. Teach me what love is. Let me relish in the testimony you have given me. And if you don't know your testimony, tomorrow's a great day to do some self-examination. God, convict us to what you've called us to and help build us up that we might be it. I encourage you all.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Rick, you know what? If you don't mind, can I ask you to pray for us?
I sure will. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for Pastor Michael Miano and God, the heart that you've given him through all the things that you've brought him through in his life. And God, even on this anniversary of the time when he got to speak at Blue Point, I know even in my own faith, as time went on and changed, that God, that how important Blue Point Bible Church has become even in my own life. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Michael Miano. I'm thankful for Edward. And yes, for that exhortation that he gave at that conference. It was a fantastic exhortation. And it's something I'll never forget. And Lord, I just ask that you bless him and also bless those that are at the church. Bless the Power of Preterism Network, God, and just use these resources for your glory. And God, just help us, each one of us, to do the homework that we've been talking about, the things that you laid out for us so many millennia ago about how to love others and to think of others higher than us. And God, how that you did all of those things for the ungodly. And as far as I know, that's everybody that I've met that's apart from you. And God, that means that I need to love them as well. And it's in Christ's name that I do ask these things. Amen.
In the land of the free, where dreams are born and legends are made, an unsettling phenomenon lurks in the shadows. Join us on the Burrows of Berea podcast for our groundbreaking series, All American Cults. Discover the untold stories behind America's most enigmatic cults, from the mesmerizing charisma of their leaders to the unquestioning loyalty of their followers. What drives these communities to the brink of devotion and desperation? We delve into the heart of these cults, exploring their unique rituals, their alluring promises, and the chilling truths that lie beneath. Are these cults a reflection of our deepest fears, or simply a mirror of our society's vulnerabilities? Tune in to the Burrows of Berea podcast, All American Cults.
Coming March 17th, only on Patreon. Visit www.patreon.com/the Burrows of Berea for more details. That's www.patreon.com/the Burrows of Berea.